You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Where are we this week? It's Go Week 3, Prepared for Mission. I've probably subtitled Authority. I'll briefly explain about last week. We were talking, if you can remember, about the power of blame and why it is so important. We were right back in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis last week and looking again at the fall of man and how Adam and Eve were actually robbed of their purpose. And purpose was a key word, actually, that we looked at last time. And actually, we took that word purpose and it went through something and it became the word repurpose. Adam and Eve had a purpose. And if you can remember their purpose, it was to look after creation, to increase in number, to fill the earth, subdue it, bring it under control. That was their commission. And I love words. I love looking at words again. I never seem to really enjoy words as much as I've enjoyed words recently. And I looked up this word commission, and there you can see on the screen. Commission, it says to bring. And I really love this. Something newly produced into a working action. Adam and Eve, right at the beginning. Bring something, commission, something newly produced into a working action. And if you remember, we asked the question, how did Adam and Eve get deceived? They weren't tricked into lying or stealing by the serpent in the garden. In fact, he didn't even say, eat the fruit, did he? Didn't say, oh, go and eat that, it's really nice. Instead, they were distracted by what seemed good things. Distraction. Genesis 3, verse 5, you will see there were some good things. Look at this. You will certainly not die. Who would like that one? Sounds all right, doesn't it? Your eyes will be opened. Or how many of us are on our knees saying, Lord, open my eyes to the things around me that you'd have me do? You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. I'd like some of that. I'd love that discerning spirit. This doesn't sound like bad stuff, does it? And on the face of it, quite good things. But the reality, as we know it, is this ultimately robbed Adam and Eve of their purpose. Satan distracted them and robs not only them, but us of our purpose. And sometimes it's very subtle. If you remember back last week, I made reference to a counterfeiter. Question, does a counterfeiter destroy, if they're counterfeiting money, do they destroy money? No. What do? They create something that looks like money, but it's unable to fulfill the purpose of money because it's not real. It's counterfeit. And I know from a few conversations that people were really challenged last week about good versus purpose. There may be lots of good things that come along in our lives. And let's be honest, they are good. Even that list I said a minute ago, it sounds good. But let's be clear on this. Sometimes these good things can actually be a distraction and they rob us of what we should be doing. My last little recap from last week. We saw how distraction and blame led to Satan being responsible for this world. And I'll just recap this really quickly. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. We can see what man's purpose was. It was to subdue and have dominion. And that was Adam's purpose. In a sense, responsibility for this world was given to Adam. And after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit, what did Adam do when God asked him what he'd just done? It's on the screen. I like to give you the answers. Adam passed blame onto Eve. So who has responsibility now? Eve. And Eve passed the blame onto the serpent. She passed responsibility. Who has responsibility now? What did the serpent do? It remained silent. Yes, it was cursed, but responsibility and dominion was passed on to the serpent. And blame is actually a really powerful tool that Satan uses. And I put up the thing on the screen. What you blame, you empower. So silent Satan or Lucifer inherits the world because Adam and Eve did not face up to their responsibility, their part in the issue. They passed responsibility on to somebody else. And I just gave us that moment just to let those cogs tick in your mind as Holy Spirit starts prompting us. What do you blame? What do you blame, and what has authority over your life? You see, is it time to confess to God? Remember what we said, confession is agreeing with God that that thing is not quite right, and we need to sort it out. And then bring that back under your authority and bring it back under your control. And this is why Jesus is so important. Because when Jesus took all the sin and shame of this world into the grave, the responsibility was taken back from Satan, and all authority is now with Jesus. And this is why Jesus is so important, because no other religion or faith preaches any of this. No other person has died to deal with the dominion or deal with the issue that Satan has dominion over this world or control of. And this is why I believe it's time for us as church to go, and to go and be a church on a mission. If we really get this, if we really understand the gospel, we understand what the good news is, then Jesus and his authority and the authority we have in Jesus' name is something really, really powerful in our hands. And let's not forget, we have an enemy that firstly doesn't want you to even believe this power exists, let alone that that power is at work in you and I, and we have that authority too in Jesus' name. Just catch that for a moment, because you can be robbed of your purpose, but you can also be robbed of believing there's even power available. So this brings us on to our topic for today, being equipped for mission. And if you've been looking at your little charts and you're thinking, oh great, we're going to be equipped for mission, Darren's going to come along and give us a whole list of do's and don'ts and things we can do. We might be getting some of that in your home groups and life groups. Just as an aside, life groups and home groups started last week. Some were well attended, some not as well attended because they needed a slightly longer runway. But with all these things, we've chalked it up. We've done one. And there's another one going to happen this week. And if you're not sure who your home group or life group hosts are, they will come and find you hopefully today. If not, come and see me. And if you'd like to join in with a group, by all means, come and let us know. But that's an aside. What we're not about, I'll say this morning, is providing you with a big, long list. I know I did get some feedback this week, and I think our next slide has actually got a picture of, authority. Next one. That one. We're putting a booklet together that we're going to take out on the streets, and a lot of people are going to be saying, when we knock doors and put them through the letterboxes, it's all going to be about the booklet. What's in the booklet? We need to know what's in the booklet. No, you don't. Okay? It's not about the booklet. And I want to make that really clear. Otherwise, everyone's going to go, well, with this booklet in my hand, I am going to be armed with this stuff. The booklet's going to have some great stuff in it. But actually, the key to being equipped for mission is going to be about you and I this morning. And that's where we're going to open up God's word together. So if you're sitting there waiting for the booklet, thinking it's all going to happen when this thing arrives, it's going to look something like that. It's not finished yet. And we need a number of people to write some things in there. We need a few little testimonies to go in as well. So we've already taken your mugshot and potentially put it in. We're going to need some words from you now. But with all the things we're called to, we've got to keep coming back to our default question this morning. And I remember I said subtitle is authority. What does the Bible say about authority? And do we see any outworking of biblical principles of authority in the Bible passages? Does Jesus say anything about it? Do the disciples do anything about it? Is there any other way that authority is manifest? And can we understand it today? How does that fit into what we're doing? Now, when you hear me sometimes rattle lists off, I really don't want that to be intimidating. And for you to think, well, I could never read the Bible like Darren does. I'll tell you, when I put messages together, it's hard work. I really struggle to do it sometimes. And there's lots of research, and there's lots and lots of prayer. I can do nothing if God doesn't equip me first. So when I'm praying and putting a message together, I frog. Who's come across frog? I really like that picture. That's what I feel like sometimes when I put my message together. Frog, what's it mean? Go on, who's, I heard it. Fully rely on God. Now, I don't know how you're feeling today. That kind of tickled me, that picture, because that's sometimes what I feel like throughout the week. I'm hanging on for grim death by my fingertips. But fully rely on God. And I'm going to share some things with you this morning. And honestly, I can't remember all of these things. And if I ask you to shout out Bible passages about authority, you might sit there thinking, oh, please don't pick on me. Darren had asked me to shout one out this morning. But before I start to read them out, you will probably be surprised how many Bible verses you actually know about authority. And being equipped for mission is actually about being immersed in the Word of God. So if we're immersed in the Word of God, He will call those verses to mind. As a bonus starter to get us going, 2 Timothy 3:16. You can remember John 3:16. It is another good 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. God's word has the authority. It's not about what I think. This is what the word of God says. So all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we're talking about being equipped for mission, it's not about a booklet, it's about scripture. It's God-breathed, it's useful, so that you and I might be thoroughly equipped for every work that God would call us to. So genuine question, and it's funny when I write these things down, because I sit in a room and I think, that's a really good question, and I think, oh, I've got to stand up in front of people and ask them. But let's be really honest this morning. When was the last time you actually picked up scripture or God's word for yourself? I know some of you are going to say, it was just this morning, it was just a moment ago I was doing this. When was it when you genuinely picked up the Bible for yourself and you opened it and you said, Lord, I want you to speak to me through it? Now, one of the things is you might say, well, I can't, Darren, because I haven't got a Bible. Now, I've got a stack of Bibles at the back and I'm prepared to give Bibles away this morning. Does anybody want a Bible? Okay. You sure? Because I'm happy to give them away. We've given a few away. Brilliant. Anybody else want a Bible? Because you see, if we can't read the Word of God if we haven't got the Word of God. And we don't want it to be on the shelf, do we? When you came here this morning, did your neighbours or other people know, oh, there go the Christians, you can see them walking around, anoraks and a Bible? Maybe not the anoraks, we're too trendy for that now, aren't we? But the Bible. I remember watching a video a little while back, and they said this whole village was just, they'd even like renamed their butcher's shops to names out of the Bible, and the repair men and the garages, they all had these biblical names, and everybody was really proud of carrying their Bible around. You know, it's the Word of God. I'm identified with the Word of God. Now, it might be like me, and actually it's on your phone or some other electronic device now. But do people know us as Christians because we've got the Word of God and it's important to us? How can we be equipped with the Word of God if we don't know it, we don't read it, or we don't take delight in it? Day and night, Psalm 1, it says we should delight in the Scriptures. Are you like that desert place where actually God's word hasn't been for a while? Or are you like that tree planted by a river? Interesting, one of the guys out the back had a vision that saw this massive tree over Tile Hill as they were praying and fasting. They just said, I've got this picture of a tree over Tile Hill. Now, if you've got an interpretation of that this morning, come and share it with us afterwards. But what does that look like? A tree planted by a river? Rivers in the wasteland. I mean, there's lots of things. What is God saying to us this morning? So I'm going to give you some Bible verses. I think if you've got your notice sheets as well, you'll see in my little welcome bit, I've actually referenced all the Bible verses that I'm looking at. So if you want a starter when you go home today, open those up for yourself, read them, meditate on them. Imagine you're there. Some of these things, you just close your eyes for a moment and say, imagine I was there, the people around me, the smells, what was it like? And then Jesus said these words. Wow, sometimes it can bring it to life. But some of these verses that I put here shows us the power that Jesus has released and empowered each and every one of us with in the light of his death and resurrection. So to start us off, this is actually where I want us to end up, so you know where we're heading. Matthew 7. It was read to us beautifully this morning. Matthew 7, right at the end, 28 through 29. This is what it says. When Jesus had finished saying, and we heard those wonderful things, when Jesus finished saying the parables about true and false prophets, disciples, wise and foolish builders, and so on, the crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as teachers of the law. A real difference. Jesus taught as one who had authority. And if our mission, our personal mission, is to become more like Jesus, we need to listen to what he says. And our reading this morning has lots of wonderful wisdom in there. Go back and read it. I'm sure I put Matthew 7. If it's not there, you can scribble it down and go back and have a read yourself. Jesus taught as one who had authority. And we can read a bit later on, Matthew 28, verse 18. We looked at 19 last week. Verse 18, it says, Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now Jesus, he says these things, surely we know these things are true. He's told us before, he's just risen from the grave. He's about to give us the Great Commission in the next verse, verse 19. But in the previous verse, and I found this quite interesting, whenever you read a Bible passage, look at the context. It said some doubted. There will be some here this morning that are still doubting these things of Jesus are really true. They might give you comfort as you've been a churchgoer for your whole life. But actually, let me encourage you today. Jesus has risen from the dead. Come on. Jesus has risen from the dead. I mean, it's so exciting. Could you imagine being there? You know, 11 of you have trogged off to Galilee, up the mountain where Jesus says, go to this place, and you're there, and Jesus turns up, and you're like, wow, it's the risen Jesus. Yeah, not sure. Do you know, I would love to be in that place. I mean, would my faith be strengthened in that moment? And it actually is there recorded in verse 17. Some worshipped him, and some doubted. Oh, come on. Some doubted. Now, let's take comfort in that this morning, because here we are, and life gets tough sometimes, and the doubts kick in. Are you a doubter today? Open up God's word. Seek him. What does he say? Jesus spoke those words, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this is important because if you understand that he has authority over everything on earth as well as in heaven, Jesus is saying he's taken that authority back from Satan. We know our enemy is defeated. It's only a matter of time before it's all wrapped up. So believers and doubters alike, come on, we've got to start living the life in the truth and the light of this revelation. You know, Jesus has all authority. What does he have authority over? And these are definitely in your notice sheets. Authority over human institutions. Romans 1, if you want to have a quick flip to Romans 1. There's lots in Romans 1 that could be contentious. So I'm going to read you some stuff out. But what does God do and say? He has authority. Romans 1, 24 to 26 says, therefore God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. And there's an amen in your Bible. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. You see, God is in charge of all things. He's not a bully. He will let you have what you want. The question is, what do you want? Christ's authority over death. You can look in Matthew 9, Mark 5, or Luke 8, anywhere around those. You've got the same gospel stories in there. And Jesus demonstrated that he had power over death with raising Jairus's life, raising to life Jairus's daughter. You probably think of others as well. Lazarus. All the gospels speak of Jesus himself conquering death. And you can read more about that in Romans and Hebrews. They expand on that a lot more. This is God's word. It's exciting. Christ has authority over evil. Mark 1:23-27. Jesus silences an impure spirit and tells it to come out of the man. It says in verse 27, Mark 1:27, the people were all so amazed, they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. Authority there again. Christ's authority over nature. Flick back to Matthew 8, right at the end. Jesus is there calming the storm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Authority over nature. Authority over sickness. Again, flick back a page maybe. Matthew 8:14-15, a great practical passage. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. That's how we know Peter was married. Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on them. It's a very practical verse, this, isn't it? You know, Jesus healed somebody and instantly they got up and said, what do you want, cup of tea or cup of coffee? Very practical. Jesus has authority over sickness. Christ's authority over sin. Matthew 9:6, flick on a page. What does Jesus say? Again, Jesus' words, they're in red maybe. Matthew 9:6, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Authority is important. And just remember, as we said last week, and recapping on what we said, what we blame, we empower. But confession, agreeing with God, repentance, turning around and going the other direction, receiving forgiveness are pivotal in gaining authority back over the things that once entrapped us. If the Son sets you free, we've sung it this morning, you shall be free indeed. I mean, we can say this stuff, but do we really hear it? Do we hear that in our own heads? If the Son sets me free, I am free indeed. If the Son sets you free, well, it might be true, it might not be true. What do you think? What does everybody else say? You might stand out if you believe this stuff. If the Son sets you free, oh, come on, really? No, that's not the voice you want to hear, is it? What does the Word of God say? It has authority. And if we're being equipped today, it's not going to be about a booklet. What did Jesus say to his disciples when he's sending them out? You can look in John 20:23. I love some of these verses because you look at them and you kind of go, what's Jesus actually really saying here? John 20:23. Jesus' words again, they might be in red. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So does this mean I have the power to forgive sins? Certainly not. What does the Bible say is what you're going to ask. Or go back a few verses and just read that in the context of that verse. Just get the picture for a moment. It's evening time. It's the first day of the week, it says. The disciples have locked themselves away because they're fearful of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus comes and stands among them and says, peace be with you. And after a bit of prodding around to see if it really is Jesus, there's a few doubters there, it says they were overjoyed. And in verse 21, Jesus speaks again and he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It was Jesus that was sending them, as he's now sending us to bring good news to the way of salvation to the whole world. Go. Go and go. Well, we might want to do the whole world, but let's start with Tile Hill. That's a good challenge, isn't it? What does that verse actually mean? I've got a little quote that I took from some research I was looking at, and it says this: Jesus was physically leaving the earth, but promised God would be with them in the person of the Holy Spirit that was living in them. As they proclaimed the gospel, they could honestly tell people who believed in the message that their sins were forgiven. And they could honestly tell people that did not believe in the message that their sins were not forgiven and that they stand condemned in God's eyes. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. God's wrath remains on them." John 3:36. So when we say as church we want to be equipped for mission, this actually really comes down to you and I having Holy Spirit living in us. And I suppose you can ask the question, well, okay, how do I know if Holy Spirit is actually living in me? Well, we read it in the scriptures. He's going to guide us. He's going to help us share that truth of the gospel. And we will have the same power in us that raised Christ from the dead. That will be the power that is at work in us. Romans 8:11 says it. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Romans 8:11. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the power at work in you and I. That's pretty exciting stuff. It comes back to that three-legged stool. If you've been here for a while, you're going to pick these things up. My little three-legged stool again. We want that social action. We're looking at the things we do in order to serve or go on mission and say, well, this is what we're about as church. Social action, that is our mission. But as part of everything we do with social action, I've mentioned before, we need simple gospel. And that comes down to what you were saying, Hazel. You know, keep it simple, Stanley. Keep it simple. Simple gospel. And actually, I put sovereign power last week, but someone else came up and said, well, actually, isn't it? It's supernatural power, actually, isn't it? It's that power that raised Christ from the dead. It's the power that's work is at work in me. It's supernatural power. And when that supernatural power is released, when God does the work, when we scatter the seed and God does the growing, the supernatural part, the bits that we can't do, that then people are going to see a living and an alive gospel. So let's go and do stuff. It's great. But let's keep it simple and share the good news. If you had to do the 30-second gospel, what would you say to somebody? How would you share the good news? That was a good challenge a little while back. What would you say to somebody if you only had 30 seconds? And actually, is part of your prayer as you're talking to somebody, Lord, would you come in some supernatural power now, but you'll either give me the right words or the picture, or even, Lord, you might call me to pray for this person and lay hands on them, and they're going to get healed. You've got that power. You raised Christ from the dead. And this is why Jesus is so important. If anyone says to you, well, there's many ways to God, you don't need Jesus, we can, with the authority of the scripture, say, no, Jesus, when he appeared, Thomas, he asked those words, didn't he? Are you really God? Are you really here? Are you really that one? John 14:6-7 says, Jesus replied, he said, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus. And if you and I really know Jesus, you will know the Father as well. From now on, we do know God. And we have seen him because we have seen Jesus. And Jesus is the core of our gospel message. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the one that has authority. He is the key to seeing souls saved, to lives changed, people healed, communities absolutely transformed. And we are his hands and feet, and we're called, as we go back full circle, back to that great commission to go into all the world and preach the good news. But it's only good news if we know it, if we really believe it. I mean, this is exciting stuff. And I'm going to draw this to conclusion with a few points here at the end, just to button this up in our minds. Because actually, if we're going to be prepared to go on mission, if we're going to be equipped for mission, it's about you and I being equipped together, individually. Where am I in this? It's not about me just being given the right words to say and a bit of training to hand a booklet out or whatever else. I really need to know this stuff. I really need to know this. And if I'm going to be part of a church on mission, and we are church, then I need to know this stuff. I need to believe it. I need to take delight in it. So this is my conclusion. This is where we're going to bring this into land. Firstly, be repentant. Be repentant. Turn away from the things that are not of God. And place yourself under God's protection. Because when we're there, Satan has no authority over us. And the scriptures say he will flee. He will flee. If we're under God's protection, Satan will flee. Are you blaming anything this morning? Is there anything that you're still sitting under? Has forgiveness not come? Does repentance need to come? Second thing, fall in love with God and his word. And read it, genuinely. Jesus, when he was tempted, three times, what did he answer? It is written. He answered with scripture. And what did Satan do? Satan fled. You know, and we think, well, I'm not clever enough to do all this stuff. Great, neither am I. But God's written it all down for me. And I've got to try and recall it to mind. And I believe if I've read it and I've got it with me, then I can actually use that like that sword. Forgive others. I've kind of mentioned this already. Forgive others. Do away with blame and reclaim authority over your life. Forgive others. Do away with blame. They might have done some wicked stuff. Forgive them. Do not let that have authority over you anymore. I'm just recalling to mind something that came up for Nikki and I once, and we had a decision. We were completely in the right, and we could exercise our right of being right. But we took that and we threw it on the fire and said, we're not going to waste 6 months of our lives with this thing. And we'd have got probably some nice money out of it and we'd have been vindicated. But actually, no. We said, we're not going to waste our time with this thing. We're not going to let that have authority over us for a period of time. There may be some good things, as I've said already. It might be good stuff and you're challenged with some good options. We need to ask God, what is my purpose? Good versus purpose. Ask God what your purpose is. Two more to go. Be filled with the Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit. Follow his leading. Be filled with God's strength and God's power. We want to do the things that God wants us to do. And if we follow him and do God's things in God's ways, we're going to get God's power. And the last one is obvious. We've got to go. We've got to go in this knowledge and strength to share the good news that has set you and I free. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. How are we equipped for mission? Well, actually, it's going to start with you and I. It's got nothing to do with a booklet. It's got everything to do with the Bible. That's just wonderful. This is our mission. And this is how we will be equipped.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.